Mobile workforces, cloud applications, and digitalization are changing every aspect of the modern enterprise. And with radical transformation come new business risks. Welcome to Hybrid Identity Protection, the premier podcast for cybersecurity pros charged with defending hybrid identity environments. Presented by Semperis, the pioneers of identity-driven cyber resilience for the hybrid enterprise. And now, here's your host, 15-time Microsoft MVP and Active Directory security expert, Sean Duby.
Hi, everyone. This is Sean Duby, host of the Hybrid Identity Protection, HIP, podcast. We're holding our annual HIP conference in New Orleans French Quarter and Mardi Gras World on November 13th and 14th. Like the podcast, the HIP conference focuses on helping organizations meet the identity security challenges that arise in today's fast-moving business environment. We have distinguished speakers from both the private and the public sector, such as former National Cyber Director Chris Inglis, Sean Metcalf, AD security expert, founder and CTO of Trimark Security and the creator of adsecurity.org, and Alex Weinert, Vice President of Identity Security for Microsoft. Go to hipconf.com for more information. Use discount code HIPCYBERRANCH for a 10% discount on registration, and I look forward to meeting you there in November.
Microsoft Online Services are pretty ubiquitous in the business world. Everybody knows about Office 365. Millions of people, millions of organizations use Office 365 or Azure Cloud Services or other Microsoft Cloud Services. Microsoft itself has made it very clear that the cloud services are their future. And underpinning all of these services is Entra ID, formerly known as Azure Active Directory. It is critical to the success, to the security, and to all of the provisioning and all of the details of these Microsoft Online Services. That's one of the strengths of Microsoft's Online Services, is its uniform integrated identity with everything that they do. Now, of course, that means that's also very, very important to keep safe. So imagine a scenario, and it's not too hard to imagine, based on events that have already occurred in the past, that a threat actor gains control of your Entra ID tenant. They hold it for ransom. They evict the correct organizational global admins and other administrators, and they hold the tenant for ransom. Let's say things don't go the way you would like them to go, and the threat actor begins deleting various Entra ID entities, users, groups, enterprise applications, conditional access policies, you name it, and basically wreaking havoc in the tenant. What do you do? You may think that you can just simply call up Microsoft and they will magically restore all of it, but that is not the case. And that's the point of this podcast. My guest today is Tuna Gezer, who is product manager for Semperis' disaster recovery for Entra Tenant, otherwise known as DRET. He is a former product manager at Microsoft in the Microsoft Identity Division, where he has a long history of helping develop and steer feature products within, at the time, Azure AD. And so, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
So to start things out, let's talk about what is in a SaaS model. We sort of assume we know what SaaS is all about nowadays. We certainly use SaaS every day, but it's as a baseline, it's important to sort of understand what SaaS really is and what it isn't.
That's actually a good start to have the conversation, because like probably we have to go a few years back when the first conversation started with cloud services, right? So it was kind of like today's AI and ChatGPT conversation. That was the same thing. Like a decade ago, where we had like a cloud, everyone has to go to cloud, cloud is the thing. Then we had the understanding, we were told that there are different layers in cloud services that we can start consuming, which is like we had to understand the definition or, and the differences between IaaS, infrastructure as a service, PaaS, which is platform as a service, and then finally SaaS, which is software as a service. But then in time, we obviously understood the differences, but now we are in an age where we just consuming lots of SaaS solutions, because it's fairly easy. There is no infrastructure requirement. You just purchase the service, integrate, and you start using it. And the integration is fairly simple. Usually you do a single authentication with the service, do a few knobs of configurations, and that's fine. But then the question is, like, you are using this SaaS service, but what is really the SaaS service in the context of? Is that a service that you own, or is that a service you consume? And whenever we engage with identity experts in the field that are like working with Active Directory for many decades now, and in the identity world, Active Directory is something that you install in your system, in your infrastructure, and you own that service, and you also completely control the service, meaning if you don't want to use the latest, greatest updates and features of the new version of Active Directory, you do not upgrade your operating system to the new server version, and you plan exactly when you want to do the upgrade and can control when all those new features and capabilities will be available for your consumers, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing goes with extending the directory service with new objects, schema, properties, or attributes. So all of that aspect is in the control of the IT admin that owns the Active Directory. Versus in the SaaS world, if we take a look at this example in the cloud, on the cloud side, Azure AD, the old name, which is Entra ID, is the equivalent of a directory service that is running in the cloud. So what we call is, it's an identity as a service. But there is a major difference. In identity as a service, you basically do not own the product itself. You are a consumer of the product, meaning you do have administrative controls in the configuration aspect of the directory, but you have zero control on the services and features that you are able to use, because Microsoft builds features and updates the product on a very regular basis. So if there is a Microsoft website that is called monthly updates or for Entra ID, if you just follow that page, you would be seeing that on a monthly basis, Microsoft is just releasing lots of new features, and they are immediately available to any Entra ID customer in the world. And to make those features functioning, technically, what they need to do is they need to extend schema, they need to add new objects, new entities, new relationships in the system that you, in the old world, in the on-prem AD world, you would basically have the total control of that. And right now, you do not control that, so you always kind of in the reactive mode and are playing to catch up with what's new. So if you don't follow up for a month, you will fall behind and you have to just refresh your memory. What's new? What's available? What can I use?
So in the context of a SaaS service, what, as you said, the organization is the consumer of the service rather than the owner of the service. So what does that mean in terms of what Microsoft is the owner of the service? Obviously, it provides updates, as we just talked about. But what are Microsoft's responsibilities for maintaining the availability and recoverability of the service?
Absolutely. So when we dive into that conversation, I think it is absolutely important to understand the shared responsibility model when it comes to SaaS solutions. In identity as a service, there is also a shared responsibility. So imagine there are two pillars. That one pillar is basically the Microsoft responsibilities, and the other pillar is basically the customer responsibilities. So the customer, because they are a consumer, they don't have full access and all the tools that they need to cover all the scenarios they need. So Microsoft's responsibility is obviously to making sure that if we divide the responsibility into two different sections, which one would be preparation, and then the other section would be what I need to execute in the context of something happens. So in the context of preparation, Microsoft needs to give us all the functionality, the tools and documentation that we can leverage. The logs needs to be have all the information that we need, as well as platform security, meaning like because it's a cloud service, physical and all the access controls should be in place, as well as high availability should be owned by Microsoft, that if some region or some place goes down, that we are still, for example, are able to authenticate with the service and authorize. And then finally, and most importantly, probably APIs, because these are now public APIs that we are reaching. So there needs to be a set of public APIs that we can go and read all the necessary information that would help us in case of a disaster, for example.
And what about what is the responsibility of the consumer, of the consuming organization?
The responsibility of the consuming organization is basically everything that is inside the directory service itself. So all the objects that they have, users, groups, you name them, conditional access policies, they need to have the latest state of all those objects available. They need to understand the relationships of those objects with each other. And in case of a disaster, they also need to have the necessary functions to recreate or update those objects to restore it in the same state.
Well, certainly in the Microsoft 365 service, I know generally folks say, well, if we lose data, it's in the recycle bin and we can recover it. And there's a whole other topic about that. But we're talking about enter ID identities, their users, groups, as I said, conditional access policies, all of the things that make enter ID work. And what you're saying is that Microsoft says you, the consuming organization, are responsible for that data and backing up and protecting that data and to in case anything happens to it.
Absolutely. So,
okay. So what about, I mean, I think people that are listening to this podcast are probably familiar that Enter ID has a recycle bin. So you remove users, you make certain changes to a small subset of objects. There is a recycle bin for which you can quickly just simply return the object to its full service, but that's good for 30 days, right?
It's a good thing that you mentioned changes, because like actually changes would not be even covered by the soft delete state. And let's to expand on that conversation. So today, Enter ID does have some capabilities on the platform level that is going to help you in case of something goes really bad. And that is the soft delete capability, which AKA is recycle bin for some other people. But what soft delete does, obviously, as you mentioned, it just for certain objects, it just keeps them in a kind of a hidden state as soon as they are deleted. They are not completely removed from the system, but they are kind of hidden, invisible. But all the object with all of its properties and all of its other relationships to other entities are still intact for 30 days. The 30 days is a hard-coded date that is the same for each and every customer, so you cannot customize that. And after 30 days, the object is completely removed, which we call hard deletion. At that point, the object is completely gone. And it's, from Microsoft's point of view, there is no recovery of an object.
So this sounds very similar to, analogous to the Active Directory recycle bin, because you can use it to undelete users and groups, but you can't recover attribute changes. It's done for deletes only.
Exactly.
So let's dive a little bit more into the hard delete, the actual, you know, final deletion. And so what we're saying is that soft delete is available for a small subset of objects, but if you make an administrative mistake, or in this scenario that I threw out there of a threat actor, you delete it, there's no getting it back. So you can't recover it, you actually have to recreate it. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. So there are two major operations that can impact your business. So one, obviously deletion. The second operation is a sort of a misconfiguration. So let's keep that in mind. In the context of deletion, soft delete is a solution for in certain conditions and certain scenarios. So soft deletion today covers user objects. Funny, it doesn't cover security groups. It covers M365 groups, and M365 groups are obviously like heavily used, but none of the security groups are covered by soft delete. So if you delete a security group accidentally or intentionally, it's immediately hard deleted. Then there are other object types that are covered by soft delete, which are application objects, service principles, or enterprise applications are covered by soft delete. But for example, conditional access policies are not covered by soft delete. And Microsoft, I believe they are planning to expand the soft delete capabilities, but it's not a light operation, to be honest, because every object, we mentioned the relationships. There is also another layer of relationship that needs to be taken care of when objects are, states are changed. And that relationship is between all the downstream services. So if you are a consumer of Office 365, you do have SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, Teams, and all those tiny valuable applications that are in the Office 365 family. Mm-hmm. And you can also use the other services from Microsoft under the M365 portfolio. There are hundreds of SaaS solutions that are just coming from Microsoft. Each of those solutions might get impacted by this change or deletion, what we call.
Yeah, so this is where the integration of Entra ID into all the services is a single point of failure.
Absolutely.
So we've established that there is a recycle bin for a small subset of entities in Entra ID, but literally, legally, the responsibility is on the consumer, the owner of the tenant, to back up and protect the rest of that data. So I'm sure that this is actually a surprise to a lot of people. I think that's something that one of the things that we have discovered. And so what tools are available by Microsoft or open source that you're aware of, or the steps that the listener can take to back up and protect their data as much as possible? What can they go out to the Microsoft site and get a hold of right now?
So in the context of, let's unpeel it slightly to make it more clear. So in the Entra ID world, let's compare it with the on-prem Active Directory. In the on-prem Active Directory, you have a very easy way. So you have a concept of a backup API that you can get products that call this single API and then get a full snapshot picture of your existing Active Directory with the whole directory services and all of its objects and information and relationships. In Entra ID, there is no concept of a single backup API. So what you need to do is you basically have to go to each entity's endpoint and then execute a read operation. So basically what you need to do is you need to identify what are the crucial entities and objects in, that you need to have a snapshot of. Easy users, groups, conditional access policies, and application objects, service principles, admin units, and there are plenty of other objects that you should consider. Once you have identified those objects, you can simply go with any tool and call those graph endpoints, get the output, save it in a file. That's the simplest form. There are some community solutions, and Microsoft released a few tools that makes this operation much easier. And one of them is the Entra ID exporter, what Microsoft calls it. It's, I believe, available on GitHub repo. And this is basically connects, authenticates to your tenant with the necessary permissions, and then calls each and every object, and then creates a file of the current state of the object and its properties.
That bears repeating and summarizing. So what you're saying is that unlike Active Directory, on-prem identity service, Entra ID has no unified backup API. There is no equivalent. The individual owner of a tenant, the consumer of this service, has to first off, you know, find this Microsoft tool and use it to download what you can download, but even that is a subset of everything that you should be paying attention to. Enumerating all of these individual identity classes and exporting their configuration. Now, is there a way to import those configurations?
The way to import them would be something that you need to control. And so first of all, you have to clean the data and then make sure that you just import the sections that you would like to import. The tool doesn't give you any importing functionality, so you have to basically take that information and then use either graph calls or something else in that direction to import the data.
What about, and we talked earlier about the extremely complicated interrelationship between Entra ID and its major services such as Microsoft 365 and Azure as well, and Azure roles, Azure permissions. You mentioned that before our conversation started today that there's also a tool for exporting the configuration for Microsoft's 365 as well, correct?
That is correct.
Right. So again, we run into the same idea of, you know, being responsible for your data while Microsoft provides the service, and also the interrelationship of the two services. We talked about the concept of groups and an M365 group versus a security group versus a mail-enabled security group versus a distribution list, and objects in Entra ID that are actually created in other services, such as Exchange Online. Why don't you give the example of the contact in Exchange Online and where does that go?
Correct. So as on-prem AD folks, we used to be able to create contacts in on-prem AD directly, right? Once we moved to the cloud with Entra ID, obviously contacts are still an entity that can be created, but interestingly, Entra ID doesn't own contacts. So you cannot create contact objects directly into ID. You can create users, but that's it. If you want to create contacts, contacts needs to be created in Exchange Online. So you have to use the Exchange Online portal, the admin portal for Exchange Online, to create those contact objects or the Exchange PowerShell commandlets. And those contacts, once they are created, they are synchronized to Entra ID. So you can see them, but you do not have the right permissions on that object. So it's created, like the source of authority of the object is Exchange Online.
Right.
And the same goes for some other groups that you mentioned, like this mail-enabled distribution groups are controlled, the source of authority is, again, Exchange Online.
So in the scenario that I described at the beginning, let's say for whatever reason, you lose control of your Entra ID tenant and you call Microsoft, help me get control back of the tenant. What exactly will Microsoft do? I mean, at a high level, I mean, we don't necessarily know all of the details of it, but what will Microsoft do at this process, and what do you end up with after Microsoft helps you?
Again, that takes us back to the shared responsibility. So Microsoft is not responsible whatever happens inside your directory service in the data. it's not Microsoft's responsibility. So they will, if you lose access, so if your tenant gets a takeover, they can get it back and give it back to you. But the damage, what's done in the tenant inside the directory, it's done. So there is no recovery that Microsoft can do. So that's why we mentioned that you should, if you don't have any tools, any third-party solutions that you purchase, you should definitely go first thing today. I would go download the Entra ID Explorer. I would go download the M365 desired state configuration tool, which one of them is focusing on Entra ID. The other one is focusing on the M365 side of the house. But it's basically exporting all the most of the entities and the properties and the current state. And it's going to be a good enough snapshot that if something really goes in the wrong direction, you can use that data to clean up and then restore. Obviously, the cleanup and restore is easy to call out, but it's a very tough and challenging operation as well.
Yes, it's a very heavy lift to get that back. But as we alluded to, there you can do this manually, but there are also third-party products such as Semperis's disaster recovery for Entra tenant that essentially does all of this discovery and the exporting and saving into a database and the ability to recover as well. Is that a good assessment, or tell us a little bit about it?
That's a very good description, actually. So what it's not rocket science, right? So because there is the gap of the backup capability in Entra ID that we had in Active Directory, we decide to focus on a solution that is basically on a regular, on a scheduled basis, goes into a customer's Entra ID tenant, takes a snapshot of the most important entities in that tenant. And when I say snapshot, it's really more what we do is we go to each and every API for that specific object, we read all the properties and make sure that we securely take that data and save it in our secure storage. And what you basically can do with that at the end of the day, if something really goes bad, you have a bulk deletion or even a bulk modification in your Entra ID system that you need to recover or restore to the desired state as soon as possible, you are able to go to the necessary backup snapshot back in time, select the objects, and then trigger the restore. The restore does also focus on making sure that not just the individual object or objects that you selected are restored. It's really crucial that we also make sure that the necessary relationships are restored. And when I say relationships, obviously the most easy one to explain is if a user gets deleted and it's hard deleted, it's completely gone, right? In a hard deletion, the object ID is also completely vanished. So meaning, if you need to recreate the object, restore the object, there is no restoring of objects. It's a recreation of an object. That recreation comes with a new object ID. And there is no control where you can go and define that you would like to use the same object ID. There's no possibility to do that. So what needs to be done, you basically create the exact same object, stamp exact same properties or attributes and values on that object that you had in your backup. And then the next step is now you need to identify all the different relationships and then make sure that the relationship is also updated. Meaning if the user was member of like hundreds of groups, you go to each group and then remove the old entry of the deleted user, which the reference is the object ID, obviously. So, and replace it with the new created object, which is the new user. You do that for groups. Then you have to think of other relationships. And let me give you a few examples that just can give you an idea. Application assignments. So you can, for example, you have a Salesforce application in your system. You do assign access to Salesforce by assigning users or groups to the applications and enter ID. So when you recreate the group or the user, you need to make sure that the recreated object is also reassigned to the application so they can still access the resource. One other relationship is very crucial from a security point of view is conditional access policies. So you also need to make sure that the same object, when recreated, needs to be reassigned to all existing conditional access policies it was assigned before. The policy engine can do the same controls on the same object as it was before. And there are many more relationships, to be honest.
Well, yes. I mean, you're pointing out the scope of the task that has to be accomplished manually is monumental, because it's not just the individual identities, the individual entities. It is, and you were only describing the relationships within Entra ID, not even
Correct.
The relationships with the myriad applications, the M365, Azure Roles, you name it, extraordinarily complex. So the takeaway of this fascinating conversation is back up your data in Entra ID, run, don't walk, and find those tools to back up the data that you can in Entra ID, but be aware that that is only part of the solution.
And like homework, I would say, like, make sure, as you mentioned, document your non-good states. That's for sure. The other part would be, like, make sure that you have a business continuity and disaster recovery plan, meaning identify your resources. This operation is resource consuming. So you need to have the manpower that, in case of a disaster, you can rely on. So that specific dedicated manpower, to be honest, if you don't have enough resources, then you should look into third-party solutions that can help you minimizing the effort.
It's clearly very, very resource intensive. And so it's one thing, it is only, and I say half, and it may be less than half of the project to discover and back up, copy off the state of everything. It sounds like the restoration is really complicated, because it's either done point and click, or if you're sufficiently skilled to use the Graph API to rebuild some of those relationships.
Absolutely. So you have to be proactive. There is no way that you have to know what you're doing. You have to have everything documented, as well as you have to test on a regular basis. Because as we probably touched before, you do not own Entra ID, you consume Entra ID, meaning whenever Microsoft is releasing new features and functionalities, all the tools and solutions that you custom built, there is no guarantee that they are backwards compatible. So if Microsoft changes the schema of an object, a well-known object type, which surely happens all the time, you need to make sure that your existing DR solution is also functioning and it's going to make sure that it will be backwards compatible. So you should definitely not just document and describe and have a definition of all those different relationships. You should also, on a regular basis, go and test your DR solution if it's also able to recreate or, in case of a deletion, recreate an object. In case of a misconfiguration, get the object state to the desired state back. I think these are very crucial operations that every Entra ID admin needs to take very serious.
And we're not talking typical on-premises disaster recovery test of every 6 months. This sounds like this should be more like monthly, because these things, how often these things may change without notice until you test it and the output that you get is different than what you expected, or you take your backup and you try to apply it and it doesn't work because something in the underlying fabric has changed.
Exactly. I mean, you nailed it pretty much.
So no unified backup API. You're responsible for your data. There are some open source or available Microsoft tools to back up some of it, but recovering it is very difficult, very resource consuming, and you have to test, if you built all that, you have to test it on a regular basis to make sure it even still works, or look at a third-party solution, and the SaaS model is somebody else does the work for you on this to keep it up to date, to make sure, and really, so what I hear in this description of the work involved is, as you so elegantly put it, resource intensive is time. It's people and it's time. And it, you know, as we talk about it in the cyber world, is downtime is when it is most critical. And something takes a lot of time when it is most critical and most expensive. So,
and it's interestingly, I usually call it out that when the system, when you have a downtime, there is the challenge is really not the technical part of it. It's more of process and making sure that you are able to restore everything in the shortest amount of time. Meaning, like when I say restore, I mean that take it back to the desired state before the operation was done. And that is ultimately the goal, right? So you need to make sure that your recovery time objective is pretty much aligned with your SLAs that you define. But this is interestingly not a technical thing, because whenever you are down, it ends up that you're not just tasked with the challenge to restore everything back, but then the business also is on top of you. It's pressuring you like, oh, when are we going back to the system? When are you restoring? When we will have our services back? So it's kind of also psychological pressure on top of it.
An extraordinarily stressful time. I used to say, you know, when you would take a Microsoft exam and you'd answer a bunch of complicated questions about a service, or I always said the way to make it more realistic would be to put a headset on and then have a manager screaming in your ear at the same time. Oh, and that to much more closely simulate the stress of an actual situation.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Tuna. This has been fascinating and I think very important for people to understand, because I don't think it's widely known. So go forth, get those tools, back up what you can back up out of Entra ID and out of Office Microsoft 365, and be thinking seriously about a disaster scenario and how do I get this information back, because I think we all agree the configurations and data in our Entra ID tenants are not becoming less complex. They're becoming more complex, and the relationships are becoming more complex. So have a look at it today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Thanks for joining us on the Hybrid Identity Protection Podcast with Sean Doobie. Be sure to subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Visit hipconf.com, that's hipconf.com, to learn about upcoming events, view expert presentations, and take part in the conversation.